Someone asked me one time, they said, "So what faith are you?" I said, "There's only one faith." And he came to church. Amen. I'm not talking about an organization. I'm talking about God's church. No matter what you label yourself or who you're affiliated with, God has one church. And he's taken that one church to one heaven. And we're going to spend eternity with him. Amen. I'm glad to be a part of God's church. I don't know how many people is going to be there, but I plan on being one of them. How about you, Brother Robert? You plan on being there? Amen. Well, I have a word from the Lord for you today. We didn't even know who was preaching tonight. And I didn't know. Brother Cummins didn't know. Nobody knew but Jesus and Pastor Kyle. And so I asked, I said, who's preaching tonight? And he texted me back and said, "You." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Don't you know what I've been through lately? Don't you know that I've been very ill?" And somebody transmitted their little bug, and so I've been, you know, congested and sinuses, and I'm thinking he must not know how I feel. And so I agreed with it, and I didn't have anything to my knowledge to preach other than just turning in the Bible or preaching something that I've preached before. So I did what every smart preacher would do, pray and ask God. And he came through for your sake and also for mine. So I did ask the Lord for a message for you. I asked the Lord, what did he want to say to this church? And so we're going to hear what the Lord has to say. Is that all right? All right. So let me begin reading tonight in the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. Galatians chapter 6. Hope nobody drunk out of that water. Amen. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Paul obviously had been through some things in his life and in his ministry, and he penned these words, "And let us," notice he said "us," which included himself, "and let us not be weary in well-doing." He is saying, let us not be weary as we're walking with God. Don't allow yourself to get weary praying, trusting God, being involved in ministry, waiting on the Lord, doing the works of God. Don't get weary doing what is right. And then he said, "For in due season." And I'm thinking that what Brother Winslow said about a week and a half ago gives us some encouragement that the season that we've been waiting for is coming. So don't be weary in well doing, for in due, somebody say it's due. In due season, we say us, we shall. That means something is going to become visible. Something that was invisible will become visible. Something that was unseen will begin to materialize. We shall reap. There's a collection coming. There's a payment coming. There's a harvest coming. There's a gathering coming. It's all in due time, in due season. And I'm anticipating, and I believe that we are entering into the season of reaping. For what we have sown, that shall we also reap. Here's the catch. If we faint not. The word faint means if we collapse not. If we don't fall unconsciously. If we don't pass out. You know how it is when you're doing the right thing over and over and over again and you don't see results, it gets a little tiring. Some of you perhaps have walked or have run or ridden a bicycle, and in your mind you can see the destination. You know where you want to be, you know where you want to go. But if it's a long journey to get there and you really can't see it physically, your legs start getting tired, your mouth gets dry, maybe even start cramping up a little bit, and there's a tendency to get weary because you can't see the finish line. But I believe the Lord has sent a word to this house tonight to let us know that He knows we've been walking. He knows we've been talking. He knows we've been praying. He knows we've been ministering. He knows we've been sowing seed. He knows we've been supporting the kingdom of God. He knows we've been waiting patiently on Him. And He's come to tell us to hold on, because your season is coming. Don't collapse. Don't fall out. Don't lose consciousness. To be weary means to fail in heart, to lose hope, or to lose courage, or to become exhausted. Anybody beside me ever become exhausted? I'm speaking physically. And some of you have been exhausted emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. Weariness can come from the loss of patience. Weariness can come when we've gone a while and there's no real results or evidence. And it seems like there's no positive outcome. Weariness can happen when you cannot see where you're going. We stop tarrying, we stop walking, when our expectancy level begins to diminish, we tend to get weary. Weariness can occur when we're out of shape, and when we're not healthy, and when we are not adequately hydrated. The Lord taught me a lesson. He has to be very simple with me, because I'm just a simple guy, and I don't understand a lot of things. Unless God shows me. You can be seated. I'm sorry. I know you're tired already. I'm just going to keep standing here if that's all right. Is that all right? Amen. Can I just pull up a chair? Give me a chair. You're weary of standing. See, it's proven. You stand in one position too long, you get bored. And boredom makes you weary. There's some spiritually bored people in the church today. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just sit on the sideline and watch the game play. I want to give me the bat. Let me catch. Send me to the outfield. I want to be involved in the game. I want to be in the race. But the Lord taught me a lesson, and I tried to do some exercise. Well, let me rephrase that. I tried to involve myself in physical fitness, get involved in some recreation. And I know I look like I'm in tip-top shape, and I've probably fooled a lot of you, but I'm not in the greatest shape. The scripture is true, bodily exercise does profit little. And so I'm working to get some profit. But I was involved in some type of exercise or physical activity or recreation, and I wore out. I wore out very quickly, very quickly. And I was so tired, and I'm like, oh, I can't. I'm only 38, and I shouldn't be having these pains. And I'm wondering what is wrong with me. And believe it or not, I feel the Lord spoke to me. He does speak. If He spoke to prophets, surely He speaks today. And this is what I feel the Lord told me. He said, the reason why you cannot last and you have become weary to the point where you are falling out, you're fainting, and you need oxygen, is because your body is not conditioned for this type of activity. And I said, that's good. That's a good thought. And I'm agreeing with God. And then the next thought came. The reason why many people cannot last spiritually is because they are not prayer conditioned. I told someone recently, and I hope that you don't think ill of me for saying this, but I don't get up at 5 o'clock in the morning every day to pray. Shame on me. In fact, I don't even have a personal prayer time. I'm just being honest with you. So that gives you something to pray for, Sister Stewart. Now you probably get up at 4 and pray. But I'm gonna be very honest with you. Although I don't, now I pray, you know, when we come together and it's time for, you know, Thursday night prayer, we have Monday night prayer, which is incredible. The young people have been praying and interceding. In fact, Monday night prayer, I said, don't lay hands on me. I said, this is corporate prayer. I didn't come here for you to pray for me, because I may be praying for China. And when you lay hands on me, you have just interrupted me and Jesus, because we're interceding for China. So when I come to pray, don't lay. I said, the only person that has permission to lay hands on me is my pastor. He can lay hands on me anytime. I didn't know I was going to go here. I'm just kind of letting it all out tonight. I'm exposing myself. But this is how I teach my young people about prayer, about corporate prayer and praying collectively and joining together and focusing on something bigger than ourselves. Amen. Amen. Getting a hold of the vision of God and praying the will of God into fruition. Amen. So, but God really does want us to be conditioned for the journey. But I've got good news. If you're weary, if you're tired, if you feel like you're fainting, God's got a word for you tonight. And that word is, we need to learn to hold on to Jesus. Hold on to what you know is right and true and real. Amen. God knows that some of us will get weary. The Bible says in Isaiah that the young man will become faint and he will become weary. But they that wait upon the Lord, you know the story. So some of that wasn't really the main part of this message. But let me continue. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 10. And I hope, what I'm really hoping is that every time we come to church, whether Pastor Kyle is preaching or another minister is preaching or teaching, My prayer is that the church, the people of God, will learn to discern the voice of God. Now, we know what the preacher preached, and we can give you the title, but what is God saying to you? What do you hear God's voice saying to you? He didn't say, listen for the sound of his voice. He said, listen for his voice. What is God declaring? What is God speaking to you in this hour? What is he saying to you, Brother Tanner? What is he saying to you on a Wednesday night? I hope that at the end of this service, that in your mind you know that you've heard the voice of God. Amen. Because he said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow, for they know not the voice of a stranger. So I'm here tonight as an extension of the voice of God. God knows the pain. He knows the suffering. He knows the anguish. He knows the things that have been said to you, the prophecies, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. He knows the things, the dreams, the visions, the desires that you have. He knows what has gone on in your life. He knows the disappointments. He knows that there are things that you really want to happen, but you have not seen them come to pass as of yet. He knows, and he has heard all the prayers that you have prayed. And for the loved ones that you cry out to, for God to save and to bring them back into the fold. God is aware of all of these things. And with those things in mind, he has sent a word to you, perhaps as an individual, or maybe even to all of us as a whole, to do not give up. Go beyond what you feel. Go beyond what you think. Go beyond what you understand and do what thus saith the word of God. We don't walk by feeling. We walk by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in his word. Hallelujah. If the preacher is preaching the word of God, have faith in it. He says, if you faint, if you fall out, if you cave in the day of adversity, then thy strength is small. It is undersized. It is minute. That is, if we faint in the day of adversity. I find it amazing that we can have church on a Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, people receive the Holy Ghost, and we feel 10,000 upon 10,000 goosebumps all over our body. We speak in three or four different languages and 12 dialects, and I'm telling you, we can almost see angels and cut the air. It's so thick, amen, with the anointing and the power and the glory and the presence of God. It can happen on a Sunday, but as soon as we walk out, we go into a restaurant, or we wake up on a Monday morning, or Tuesday gets here, and then all of a sudden some accident occurs. Some situation just out of nowhere just burst in front of you. And then all of a sudden we begin to say, well, God must not have heard my prayer, or maybe I didn't receive what the preacher said that I received, or maybe I misheard what he said about the blessing that was coming to my life. I'm here to remind all of us that we do have an adversary, the devil. We do have an adversary, the devil. But everything that occurs in our lives is not always the devil. It's just life on earth. You may have a flat tire on your way to church. Don't blame it on the devil. How's the devil going to mess with your tires? Some people blame everything on the devil. Oh, I got a headache. Blame it on the devil. It's because you're not eating right and you're not drinking right. Oh, it's the devil. The devil. Well, the Bible says that he gave us power over all the power of the enemy. And the devil is the enemy. And you and I have power over all of his power. Hello? In fact, when you see throne, it represents power and dominion. And Jesus said, if you overcome as I overcame, you will sit with me in my throne. What? We need to know what power we have. It was when Esau became faint that he sold his birthright for a morsel of bread. 200 men failed to follow David across the brook Bezar because they were faint, they were weary, they were tired, they couldn't go any further. So God is aware of the reality of his people becoming weary to the point where they just faint. And if you become weary, it's not the will of God for you to stay that way. Somebody say, hold on. Jesus is coming. Somebody say, hold on. Jesus is coming. Let's lift our hands to the Lord for a moment. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. Perhaps if I'm fainting, it might be because I'm not praying. Hello? I said earlier, I may not have a prayer time, but I do have a prayer life. And I do talk with Jesus every day. And some of those days, he talks back to me. I might not pray at 5 o'clock or 4 a.m. or 12 midnight or 8 p.m., but I talk with Jesus every day. And he talks back to me. And we have communion. We have relationship. I don't say, okay, I'm going to give you this time, Lord. No. All the day is his. All the time is his. If he moves on my heart, then I've got to break out from where I am and go spend a little time with him. Come on, somebody. Amen. Don't put God on a timer. Put yourself on a timer and make it a priority in your life. That even if you don't have a prayer time, I'm going to have a prayer life. I'm a life filled with communication, filled with fellowship, filled with sweet communion with the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want to go ahead and be honest with you. I was so sick last week. If you'll pile up all the prayers that I prayed, probably be about 45 minutes the whole week. I'm telling you, I was sick. I was working sick. And I didn't tell everybody, but I was feeling bad. And you couldn't tell it on the outside because I look like I'm in shape, you know. I just look like I'm, you know, just got it going on, like I work out and stuff. Just don't see me in a T-shirt because you'll know I don't work out except with a fork and a knife. Amen. But I've been healed of bulimia, I guess it is. Is that what they call it? Is that bulimia or what's the other one? Anorexia. I've been healed of that. I'm just kidding. Just a joke. But I was telling my young people the other night, I was like, man, I'm glad to be at Monday night prayer because all week I haven't prayed hardly at all. I mean, you know, I do the basic stuff. You know, hey, Jesus, I love you. You're awesome. You're powerful. I need you today. You know, I'm just straight to the point, you know. I didn't say hallelujah 2,500 times like some of you and, you know, speak in the same three words, you know, for an hour. You know, I didn't do all that. And I hope I'm not offending you. but that's okay because you could be saying, praise be to Jesus, praise be to Jesus, you know, 1,000 times. But I think the Lord wants to hear more than just praise be to Jesus. Pray. He's like, okay, all right. Okay. Can you talk to me a little more and let me know what's in your heart? Amen. So, I'm feeling really bad. I get up and I thank you, Jesus. I go in there and I lay hands on my son and my daughter and I pray for them, Lord. Thank you. Bless them. Keep them tonight. Bless them with strength and good health. And, you know, there's some of those basic things. And I wasn't feeling nothing. Wasn't feeling God all week till you come to church and then, you know, you bring Jesus. I didn't feel like I brought anything. But because you brought Jesus, I just enjoying it. Yeah, let some of that rub off on me. You see, preachers aren't on the mountain all the time. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, sometimes we're walking in the valley, but we got to keep preaching, keep loving, keep talking, keep ministering. Amen. Be not weary in well doing. Even if you're not praying like you need to pray, come on. Amen. Don't get stuck in that rut. Realize that God loves you just the same as he did when you were feeling good. He loves you right now just as much as he did at any other time in your whole life. run to Jesus. You know, and I thank God for mentorship and men of God in my life and women of God in my life, because I've come to church before and I felt so unworthy, and I felt like I couldn't sing, I couldn't lead the church because I had a bad thought or something had went wrong and I lost my temper and I wanted to punch a guy in the face or somewhere. And you know how we humans are. Now, that hasn't happened lately, so don't throw stones at me. It's been some years ago. But you know how we are. We come to church and we don't feel worthy, and we feel like, man, I don't even deserve this. But you don't go to your father's house or your mother's house and you come crawling in the door. Oh, I'm not worthy. But please, can I have some breakfast today? No. The reason why you walk in there and open the refrigerator is because you know mama loves you and daddy loves you as much as he always has. Amen. And you can come in with confidence, not because you've been a good boy, but because you got a good God. Come on, somebody. Hold on to your confidence in God. Hold on to the goodness of God. If God's word has ever been spoken in your life, believe it. Even if you don't see the results, hold on to Jesus. Everybody clap your hands if you can. This is Wednesday night. Don't get too excited. Numbers 23, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Jeremiah, he says this, I will hasten my word to perform it. Because it don't come to pass this week or next year, we think that God has forgotten our zip code. We think that God's GPS isn't working right and he has just overlooked me. But God doesn't overlook his children. He said, no good thing will I withhold to them that walk upright. Keep on walking. Hold on to Jesus, because in due season, you're going to reap. After 15 and 18 years, I'm just now starting to see the answer to my prayers of yesteryear. I've had visions and dreams and heard the voice of God. And some things have not come to pass, but some of those things have. And if one thing has come to pass, that ought to give me encouragement, amen, that everything that God has ordained in my life as I walk with him, it shall come to pass. Hold on to Jesus. Look at somebody and say, hold on to Jesus. Remember the former things of old? When I read this again today, a spark went off. He says, remember. You know, sometimes you just got to sit down. You just got to remember the former things. Remember what God has done. Remember the answer that God gave. Remember the person that was healed. Remember the testimony. Remember them crossing over the Red Sea. Remember the former things. It'll give you hope today if you can start remembering the things that God has already done. He says, for I am God, there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the incredible. He knows your end from your beginning. And if he has started a good work in you, he will perform it. Because not only is he Alpha, but he's also Omega. And if he's the beginning, then he's the ending. So the key is
keep holding on. Keep walking. Keep praying. Keep coming to church. I come to church when I'm sick. I come to church when I'm broke. I come to church when I got a phone for a ride. It doesn't matter how you come. The point is, just keep coming. You might think that you're overlooked and nobody knows who you are and no one gives you proper credit for what you've done. Don't worry about that. God's keeping record of your faithfulness. Let's lift our hands for a moment. Are you receiving this? I pray that you can hear the voice of God today. He said, my counsel shall stand. My counsel shall stand. It'll stand the test of time. It'll stand through all trials and tribulation and persecution. It'll stand no matter what happens, no matter what happens in the White House, no matter what they do in Egypt or in Russia. He said, my counsel will stand. And I will do all my pleasure. God said, I'm going to do all my pleasure, not just a little bit. He said, I'm going to do all my I'm going to do it. And if God said, I'm going to do it, he's going to get it done. No matter who he has to go through, no matter how many devils has to be cast, God is going to do his pleasure. And I hope I'm a part of it. I hope I'm a part of it. I want to please him. I want to be pleasing to God. We can't just sit idle and do nothing and just hope that things will fall into place. We say, well, if he said it, I'm just going to sit back, and if it was from God, it will happen. That is not true, because you can circumvent the will of God. God can Jesus Christ can prophesy to you himself. All the gifts of the Spirit can operate in the service. But if you do not obey God, you will circumvent his will for your life. The Bible says he is not willing that any perish, but that all come to what? Repentance. So without repentance, you will never see the fulfillment of God's desire, God's intent, what God longs to do in your life, what has been prophesied over you and into your life and your family and your grandchildren. I'm telling you, if you and I don't live a repentant life and hold on to our relationship with God, then things that have been said will not happen. It's based on your faithfulness. Based on your faithfulness. Amen. Are you hearing? Are you perceiving tonight? God's a strategic God. He's a God of order. And this is what's incredible. We are fellow laborers with him. God has allowed us to partner with him to see that his will is done in the earth. Isn't that incredible? That you and I have the privilege to become fellow laborers with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody say, praise God. So thou, therefore, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier. As a dedicated soldier, as a committed, as a faithful soldier or warrior of Jesus Christ. There are some things that you and I are going to have to endure. I was on my way to church one day, and some of you have heard this story before. I was on my way to church one day and got hit by an undercover cop. Messed my car up, bent the frame. And, you know, wife is always upset. And I'm like, man, I'm really just, you know, just ready to react, and she's just lost it. You know, the wife normally, I'm not being a sexist by saying that, but women are very, very emotional. And am I telling the truth? And so I just want to make sure. Okay, make sure everything's good here. All right, but And I'm like, it was that guy's fault. I'm very upset, and I don't think that I should have to pay this fine. And because they gave me the citation for not yielding the right of way, but the guy was driving with no headlights. And so it just wasn't a good situation. But my wife was thinking, I was reading her emotions and her, you know, her expression. My wife wanted to go home and eat some ramen noodle soup and, you know, just try to calm down by the fireplace and catch her breath. But I said, we're going to church. So I and we cranked that car back up, and we drove to church that night. And there was a young lady there. She'd got delivered that night of a bunch of devils. That's the first time I ever experienced an exorcism. I mean, we didn't call it an exorcism, but you know what I'm saying. You've watched the Catholic Channel. Praise God. But we know those devils, those spirits were cast out of that woman that night. And I was in there praying too. But if I'd have stayed home, I'd have missed out on all that deliverance stuff. So I just had to hold on. That God's good and God's going to take care of us. And even though it's our, they blamed us and gave us the citation. Guess what happened? I think a few days later, a week later, a guy came to church from my job and gave me the money to pay the fine. Hello? Hold on to Jesus. Amen. Let me continue here. You got to endure some things as a good soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And how many knows if you're going to be a soldier in the army, not only are you going to have to go through some basic training, but you're going to go through some war. You're going to go through some difficult situations where you can't even see the enemy, but you got to know that God is with you. You got to know that you got all the weaponry and all the artillery and everything that you need to defeat the enemy is at your disposal. You have every right. You have the access to all of the things of God. Amen. And God before us, who can be against us? We can make it. We can make it. But where we mess up is we start involving ourselves in civilian life. That's when we start worrying. Now, this, I don't know if this makes sense to you, but if you are going to pray to the Lord about certain things and then worry about them afterwards, why did you pray? He says, when you pray, believe that you shall have what you've asked. You don't pray when you feel something. Amen. And you don't start believing when you start feeling something. You start believing the moment you open your mouth. He says, when you pray, believe that you shall have whatsoever you saith. Amen. We wait a week later just to see if any of the symptoms have went away. And if any of the symptoms have went away, that's when we start saying, well, I'm healed. No, you were healed the moment he touched you. It just took a few days for all the symptoms to vanish. Come on, somebody. The moment of contact, the moment of prayer, the moment he speaks, believe the word of God and you shall have the blessing. Somebody say, hold on to Jesus. Hatama. Hold on to Jesus. People may not be treating you right, but hold on to Jesus. People may be talking about your mama, but hold on to Jesus. He says, vengeance is mine. Don't retaliate. Just keep on loving God, and the love of God will flow through you and minister to them in their time. Hold on to Jesus. Don't get caught up in civilian life. You'll get sidetracked. Ask those guys over there in Vietnam. They get sidetracked when they start mingling with the civilians. Some of them got blown up when they started hanging in the territories they didn't belong. My dad served in Cambodia, Vietnam War. There's some things today he will not talk about. But when you get involved in the affairs of this life and you forget about this life, the kingdom life, you get distracted and you start worrying. I want to be honest with you. I don't worry at all. I'm not boasting. I'm not bragging. But somehow God has worked in my life where I abide in peace. I just abide in peace. I dwell in peace. Peace dwells in me. I don't worry at all. Concerned? Yes. Am I concerned? Yes. But I just don't worry. I pray, I give it to the Lord, and I just trust that what God has said will come to pass. I just trust that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. I just trust that God's with me everywhere that I go, and I just trust that my life is in the palm of his hand. That's trusting Jesus. That's holding on to Jesus. If you believe Jesus, that means you believe the Word of God. And you believe that God cannot lie. Somebody said to me recently, well, I'm having anxiety attacks. I said, well, let me give you a recipe. And I gave them some scriptures. And the scriptures, once applied, brought deliverance. Nobody had to pray. Nobody had to rebuke the devil and the spirit. Because it's not always a devil. It can be the human spirit that gives you the worst trouble of all. That's why we cast down imaginations and we pull down strongholds. We can't let them live. That means there's certain things that come to my mind that I just cannot believe. There's certain things that come to my mind I just cannot accept. And you know how it is. I was talking with a gentleman today that he's not a member of this church, and I was talking with him, and I told him, I said, son, I said, we always assume the worst. And there's always a misconception about people. You know how it is when they're over here and they're over here talking, and all of a sudden they look at you, and in your mind, they're just running you across the coals, and they're talking about your grandpa, and they're just, you know, they're noticing the flaws on your clothes and that little spot, that little hole. You're thinking that they've seen the hole. They've seen that thread that's come undone oh my goodness, what a misconception. That's why you can't believe everything that comes in your mind. You got to hold on to what God says. I choose to believe what he says about me. You can say whatever you want to about me, but I don't believe a word of it unless he is in agreement with it. Amen. You might not say good things about me, but he does. And I'm believing God's word over your word. I'm just making a point here. Let me close here. Amen. I don't know if I should tell you to stand or what. Might get a little weary on me. Amen. I've been standing all this time, and I just feel great right now. I feel like I'm standing on a cloud. I feel weightless. Isn't that something that in the presence of God you feel weightless? No more burdens? Huh? No more worries? But what you going to do when Wednesday night service is over and you got to get back into your car and things aren't right in the home and your children aren't safe? What you going to do? Are you going to worry? Are you going to hold on to Jesus? Just start talking in tongues. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You don't know what you need to pray. That's why we need to pray in the Spirit, because he knows what we need to pray. Yay! Somebody just take a praise break right now. Hallelujah. God didn't just give this message for you. He gave it for me because I'm holding on to some promises that God has spoken into my life. Yes. Oh. Come on. The Holy Ghost is teaching us tonight that whether abased or abounding, we're learning to be content. Paul said, I've learned how. He didn't say, I just woke up and started being content. He said, I've learned how to be content. Amen. When things are good, I'm content. When things aren't so good, I'm content. That means I'm stable. That means I'm satisfied. Amen. With Jesus, He is my keeper. He is my helper. He is with me. I feel joy in the middle of a storm because in His presence, there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Never run out. Well, you're not feeling good today. You're not praying right today. But He is still good to me. He still loves me. I'm still holding on to Him. Learn to be content in all situations. Don't let the voices that are in this world detour you and get you to lose your focus. Fight the good fight of faith. Is this ministering to you, Brother Kelly? Is this helping you on the front row here? Is this all right? Is the Lord touching you tonight? Is He speaking to your soul tonight? Is He ministering to you? How about, amen, Brother Paul, sister, good to see your mom here tonight. Amen. Is the Lord good to us? Does the Lord care? Is He going to answer my prayers? No good thing will I withhold to them that walk uprightly. Don't let things in this life and your schedule get you all depressed and down and out and to a point where you don't feel like coming to church anymore. Don't let that happen. Let us not be weary in well-doing. We got a fight on our hands. I never knew there was a real devil until I became a member of God's church. I mean, I saw Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner, but I never knew there was a real devil. And he's got some buddies working for him. I never knew that. Till I became a member of God's church. But the scripture speaks clearly. I'm going to rush through this. Fight the good fight of faith. Oh my. Lay hold. I was praying today and I was thinking. Then I started speaking these scriptures. Lay hold. That means you got to seize. You got to grasp. You've got to take advantage. You've got to embrace this life that we've been given. He says, lay hold on eternal life. We think that we think automatically, oh, he's just talking about, don't forget about heaven. He didn't say heaven. He says, lay hold on eternal life. What's eternal life? Jesus said, I am the life. And there's nothing more eternal than Jesus Christ. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And so what the preacher's saying here is you better get hold of that life that never ends. You better get a hold of that life that is everlasting. I'm telling you, it's a life of power. It's a life of glory. Hallelujah. It's a life of virtue. It's a life of miracles. It's a life of signs and wonders. It's a life that is more abundant, more superior than any other life in this world. It's eternal life. Abundant. whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Let's all stand. Amen. Sister Bishop, could you please help me on the keyboard, please? Oh, my. You know what's amazing is when you don't feel nothing, but you know something, you can all of a sudden start feeling something. You know, we don't come to church because we feel like it. We come to church because we're mature and we know it's the right thing to do. We walk in feeling nothing, but we leave feeling glory, feeling power, feeling virtue. Ooh, somebody, hold on to Jesus. Hold on to the truth. Hold on. Lay hold on this life that is abundant, that is powerful, and that is eternal. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Christ, who is from above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He is saying you need to pursue spiritual things. Don't worry about the money. The money's coming. Don't worry about the clothes. The clothes are being made for you. Don't worry about the house. It's being built for you. He said, all these things do the Gentiles seek. Amen. He said, but seek those things which are from above. Seek the spiritual things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His, and all these other things shall be added. How many believes the Bible? He said, all of these, all of them, all of these things shall be added unto you. But the key is, you got to hold on to Jesus. Set your affection. That means get your mind focused. Concern yourself with the things above, the kingdom of God. Not on things of the earth, the material world, the natural stuff. Don't worry about becoming a star. Focus rather on seeing the star. The star. Day star. Don't allow unrealized dreams, distracting voices, or adverse circumstances to deplete or dilute your spiritual affection. If we seek Him, we will find Him. We will discover Him. And we will receive what He has to offer. We know that all things, at least we say it, we preach it, but we have to come to this reality. I know. We know. Somebody say, I know that all things work together. It didn't say for my good. It says all things work together for good. I looked up the word good. You know what it means? It means for my benefit. Trials are for my benefit. Tribulations are for my benefit. Persecutions are for my benefit. Infirmities are for my benefit. What I'm going through right now, this valley of the shadow of death, is for my good. God is working it out for good, for the betterment of His people. And not only for our good, but for His good. Because He is the head and we are the body. Woo-woo. Let's just wave our hands to the Lord. I feel Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. I feel Him. He's in this place. Let me share this with you. Y'all watch movies that are longer than this. So don't be complaining. I'm pleasing God right now. If you're tired, you can sit down. I'm closing right now. Amen. If you're holding a baby, you can sit down. This is it here. I'm done with sermonizing. I'm just going to communicate the voice of God. Is that all right? Hear me. Trials for my benefit. Rejection from my family It's working out for good. Persecution, slander. They told so-and-so that I did such and such and I didn't do it. They lied. They slandered. I believe Jesus. It's working out for good. Lost a job. Hungry. Perils. Fasting. Waiting and nothing's happening. Job situation. Demotion. Sufferings. Don't worry. It's all working out. Look at somebody and tell them, it's all working out for good. Brother Shearer, it's for good. You mean the way they treated me? Yeah. Because guess what? When you get better, when you get stronger, when you get wiser, every trial, every test, every temptation, every time you overcome something, higher and higher, higher and higher. I've been sick, but it worked out for my good. Now I'm healed, and I can minister to other people that are sick. I've been slandered against, but I overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Now I'm helping other people that have been slammed. I've been rejected. Now I'm helping other people that have been rejected. I'm suffering and I'm overcoming, but God is going to use that for good. And He might be using it for your good and for the good of your children. Come on, just raise your hands and begin to talk to the Lord. Come on, raise your voices and begin to talk to the Lord. I know God has spoken to this house tonight. He knows you're tired. He knows you're weary. He knows your pain, your disappointment, your frustration. He knows what you've been going through, and He sent a word to you tonight. He sent a word to you tonight. Don't give up. Hold on to His word. Hold on to His promise. Things are working out for good. Through all that you and I go through, we're becoming more like Jesus. Every time I overcome, I'm becoming more like Him. Every time somebody slaps me and I turn the other cheek, I'm becoming more like Him. Hallelujah, I'm becoming more like Jesus. And the more like Jesus you become, the more attractive you are. Because the world is looking for a Savior. And they're going to find Him through you. If you're weary, if you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you're weary, if you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you're weary, if you're tired, if you are exhausted, there's a remedy. There's a remedy. It's called rest. And there remains a rest for the people of God. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the rest wherewith the weary shall rest. This is the refreshing tranquility of soul and mind, to dwell in peace. And peace abiding in you. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest, not for your body, but He says, you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I asked the Lord a question. Well, how do you get your yoke on us? How do you get a yoke? Another word for yoke means a coupling. Come here. Bend over like this. Look at this. look at this workhorse here, this beast of burden here. Huh? Built like a brick house, didn't he? I'm going to yoke this guy. You ready for the yoke? The yoke means coupling. This is called being yoked together. Now that wasn't hard, was it? You know why? Because he obeyed me. So how do you put a yoke on a wild animal? You get them to be still. If you're going to get a yoke on a wild animal, you got to get them to be still. And in the psalmist, it says, be still and know that I am God. Woo! That means rest. Be at peace and learn, experience that I am God. And if you'll take my yoke upon you, you'll find out that things will be a little easier if you do it my way. Let's lift our hands again. Father, we love you. We receive your word tonight. I believe that you have spoken to our hearts. I receive the peace. I receive the rest. I receive the word of exhortation and the word that is encouraging to me right now. Now I'm taking the next step. I'm taking the next step and I'm confessing with my mouth that I have heard thy voice. I have heard thy word, and thy word shall I do. Thy word shall I live. I will be still. I will rest in you. I will be at peace in you. I will not worry, but I will learn that you are God. I'm holding on to Jesus. Give me F. I feel Jesus. Sing it with me. Say, I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus. I feel him. I feel Jesus in this place. In this place. And my soul. And my soul does burn within. I feel it. I feel Jesus. Let's pick it up one more key. Amen. Oh, I feel. You could sing it, help me out. I gave out. I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus. Say he's in this place. Oh, you got to know that. And my soul. Grab the person's hand that is standing beside you. Just pray with them. Just pray a prayer of blessing. God told Abraham, he says, whatever you bless, I will bless. Whoever blesses you, I'll bless them. Amen. Come on, you got the power of blessing in your tongue, in your mouth. Come on, bless somebody, encourage somebody in the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, you're going to overcome the obstacle that you're facing right now by the grace of God, and your eyes shall behold the victory of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, let the gift of prophecy work in your life right now. There's a holy utterance about to come forth. That's it, Brother Kelly. Amen. I believe what the prophet said. I believe that it will come to pass. Don't faint. Don't be weary. Hold on. Your season's coming. There's going to be new growth on your tree. There's going to be new fruit budding in your life. Your season's coming. Your season's coming. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't give up on God, because He will never give up on you. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Amen. Now clap your hands and just thank the Lord for the word that He's spoken into your heart. Somebody say amen, amen, amen. Shall I believe God? Amen. Now leave this place blessed of the Lord. And like somebody said, highly favored. That's you. God bless you in Jesus' name. Have a good night. Thank you.